Would you open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2? Here's a cheery subject. Anybody know the old Coventry carol about the slaughtering of the innocents? Yeah. Matthew 2, verses 13 through 18. When they had gone, the wise men, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt." Ironic, huh? "Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child, Jesus, to kill him." That was the first Christmas. Hello. "So he got up, took the child, his mother during the night, left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod, and so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.' When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi." And then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for this Gaudete, this Joy Sunday, Lord. And in the midst of the busyness of the holiday and sometimes the difficulties or the pain, we thank you that the joy of the Lord is our strength. We thank you for Paul's words reminding us in Philippians, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. And let that be our comfort today. And Lord, as we continue through this Advent season, and as we consider your word this morning, as we always pray, we pray for spiritual eyes that see and spiritual ears that hear everything you want to say to our hearts this morning, in the name of the one born in Bethlehem, Jesus Christ, saying, amen. So again, historically, this is the season of Advent. We got to see a European Christmas kind of video this morning during adult ed, which was talked a little bit about that kind of experience as well. Again, Advent, Latin word meaning coming, right? This is the four Sundays before Christmas. This is a time where we prepare our hearts and our lives to receive Jesus anew. We like to decorate the church. You probably like to do a little of that at home. We light the Advent wreath. That's an older tradition as well. And we have the candles, which represent precious things in our experience. Hope, peace, joy, and next week, love. And the white candle in the center is up for Christmas Eve. That's the Christ candle. And so we enjoy these sort of things. So focusing a little bit on the theme of joy today as well, you know, the question is, in this holiday season, in what do you find your joy? Or better yet, in whom do you find your joy despite the circumstances? We've talked about this, right? Happiness is not joy. Happiness is based usually on the externals, but the joy of the Lord comes from within. And as we know all this by experience, the Christmas shopping experience can cause our happiness to evaporate in a New York minute. Kind of like the time, Billy. And when an elderly lady in Butte, of all places, big surprise, did her Christmas shopping and on returning to her car found four males in the act of leaving her vehicle. She dropped her shopping bags, drew her .38 special, and proceeded to scream, "I have a gun, I know how to use it, get out of the car now." They didn't wait for a second threat. They got out, the car ran like crazy. The lady was somewhat shaken and she proceeded to load her car with her shopping Christmas, the bags of Christmas items she had bought and put those in there. She got in the driver's seat, but she was rather shaken and she just couldn't quite get the key into the ignition, and she tried and tried and then realized why. It was the same reason that she couldn't figure out why in the front seat as well there were snowshoes, a Frisbee, and 2 6-packs of beer. A few minutes later, she found her own car 4 or 5 spaces down. She loaded her bag in her car, drove to the police station to report her mistake, and the sergeant whom she told the story couldn't stop laughing. He pointed to the other end of the counter where four pale men were reporting a carjacking by an angry elderly woman described as white, less than 5 feet tall, curly white hair, carrying a snub-nosed revolver. No charges were filed, thankfully. Moral of the story, if you're going to have a senior moment this Christmas, make it memorable. This week, I've been reminded that most people in this world, including us as followers of Jesus, do not like our stuff messed with, and we don't like having our lives upset. Why? Because most people are not comfortable with the feeling of the idea is being displaced. That's the idea for this morning's message, is displacement. We feel that often during this holiday time. What is displacement? It can be defined as to move or shift from an ordinary or proper place, a comfortable place in our lives. It's discomforting. It could be trivial changes in your daily plans, right? You didn't expect, to monumental and life-altering circumstances that are beyond our control. Sound like the holidays? Probably. Right? Take, for example, how many times this week your schedule or routine was upset for one thing or another that can be really, really irritating in general. But of course, that's nothing compared to the displacement that was felt by our fellow Americans in Florida or the Southeast, right, that Greg just came back from serving recently. Two hurricanes back to back? Wow, that was tough. That was tough for a lot of people, and Greg shared some of those stories recently. Countless homes destroyed, right? People dying, right? Tens of thousands are displaced. How are these poor souls going to recoup is a good question. This mess, as Greg shared, will take years to address if it's ever fully addressed at all, right? It's just a good reminder, and I think we learn this as we grow a little older, that we control very little, if anything, in this life, right? And that's not to sound defeatist or anything like that. Why is physical or emotional displacement so difficult for us as human beings, especially during the holidays? Because it mirrors our spiritual displacement, right? We are physical and spiritual pilgrims. That's an old word, right? We don't use the word pilgrim very often anymore. But we are. Our bodies don't last, do they? Right? As we all age, we have more issues to contend with. Paul talks about this, 2 Corinthians 5:1. He said, now, if this earthly tent is destroyed, here's the hopeful, the joyful idea. We have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. And as we've said before, I think this is an important point, especially during this holiday season. In a sense, we are exiles of Eden, right? Have you thought about that? We are spiritually displaced. We remain haunted by memories of Eden. And I think, you know, as we think about Christmas or those beautiful times in the past or maybe as a child, it's a reminder that this world is not ultimately our home, right? But instead of these sort of feelings bringing us to the brink of despair in our physical, emotional, psychological, and spiritual displacement, let all of these sort of feelings drive us back to the source of all joy, which is Jesus Christ himself. Kind of unlike the time when a man asked his wife what she wanted for Christmas, and he was shocked when she said, "I want a divorce." Merry Christmas. Right? And then he returned to his normal joyful disposition when he replied, "No, I'm not spending that much this Christmas. How about a puppy?" Oh, Christmas, right? You know, the scriptures this morning are really important, I think. It reminds us of something that maybe we haven't thought about very much. The displacement of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, right? Have you thought about the fact that Jesus himself also experienced physical, emotional, psychological, and spiritual displacement? Right? Doesn't Matthew's Christmas stories make that very clear, I think, to us this morning? Right? Right after the wise men had come and left, Joseph received another dream from the Lord telling him to take the family and flee to Egypt. Right? They would be displaced literally in Egypt until further notice from the Lord. Jesus' first advent, his first coming into this world, was to rescue and redeem us. And he is the ultimate example of displacement. He voluntarily displaced himself. Right? And so appreciate what Christian author Henry Nouwen has to say about this. He said, God displaced himself so that nothing human would be alien to him, and he could experience fully the brokenness of our human condition. Think about that this holiday season, right? Jesus, the earthly life of Jesus, think about it. As he was born, he's whisked away from his home off to Egypt to avoid death at the hands of King Herod. When he was 12, right? Remember, he left his poor parents. He went to listen to and even speak to the wise Bible scholars in the temple. Have you ever lost a child? Oh, that's the scariest thing in the world, right? And that happened to Mary and Joseph. We sometimes don't think about that, right? At the beginning of his earthly ministry, age 30, the Spirit drove Jesus out into the desert to fast and pray and be tempted by Satan. Matthew 8:20, Jesus declared, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Displacement. And of course, Jesus' final and greatest displacement was being led to a cross, feeling rejected and abandoned by his Father. And then Paul tells us in Philippians 2:8, he became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. And of course, all of this was voluntary. Jesus volunteered for this utter displacing poverty. Who would ever choose such a thing in and of themselves? Right? And while the people of Florida and the Southeast have been terribly and involuntarily displaced, Jesus chose voluntary displacement for our sakes. Now, this gets to the word we have for church. I found this really interesting this week. The Greek word is ekklesia, where we get the word like the old word ecclesiastical, something like that, right? And what that means is it's called out, right? So the church is a gathering or a collection, a mosaic, if you will, right? That's why we call it this church that, right? Of called out ones. That's what God has called us to. Now, Christian author Henry Nouwen says this, and listen to this carefully. He says, as a Christian community, we are a people who together are called out of our familiar places and into unknown territories, out of these ordinary and proper places, thus being displaced, to the places where people hurt and where we can experience with them our common human brokenness and our common need for healing. And while many of us really, I think during Christmas especially, long for those sort of ordinary, proper, settled happiness of a childhood Christmas, right, we are being called out in many ways as displaced followers of Jesus, so we can experience the joy of the Lord as we minister to the lost and hurting this holiday season. If you're new to Mosaic, you know that outreach and evangelism is number one here, right? Three tasks of the church we're always focused on, always. Worship, evangelism, and ministering to the poor and needy in our community. That's it, right? You want frills? Go elsewhere. I mean, we're just so serious about that. That's why we do the cookies. Don't forget the cookies. And they're not for you. They're for someone else in Jesus' name. It's better to give than to receive, as well as that giving out all those holiday ham dinners. I mean, we've had K-Packs down here. People are like, why are you doing this? Well, let me tell you, in the entire Missoula area, it's about Jesus. Amen? We get this stuff for free. We get our advertising for free. We don't pay for it. We let them come to us. Because that's how God does things, I think, sometimes. You know, so as we struggle sometimes during Christmas, remember, we're called out. We're called to minister to others in Jesus' name, and that builds so much joy into our lives. Now, just kind of on a personal note, some of you may know this, but, you know, talking about Deb and my experience of displacement over the years, you know, we're both from Michigan. Our families are all still there, mostly. And here's the thing. When I said yes to God, his call in my life, it also meant that I was agreeing to be voluntarily displaced throughout my lifetime. And Deb had to make a decision. In marrying me, she would be displaced as well. And sometimes, especially during the holidays, or when a loved one is sick or died, that is hard. It is really, really hard, right? But this is true for your life. If you're a follower of Jesus, you say yes to Jesus, that means, like the old song, Jesus takes the wheel, right? You're not driving anymore, right? And so a lot of times God will do things that, well, I don't think I like this. I don't think he needs your permission, does he? I hope not. Remember the old bumper sticker back in the 70s? God is my co-pilot. Now that sounds spiritual, that's terrible. If God is your co-pilot, I don't know where you think you're going. He's got to be the pilot, right? Right, that's kind of the whole point, I think, of this. In saying yes to God, I had no idea where God would take me over a lifetime, right? I had no idea I'd be living in New York State, New York City, ministering to immigrants who had been physically displaced from their home countries, recovering drug addicts, experiencing the psychological and spiritual displacement of some awful addiction. My wife was an HIV counselor in the Bronx during the height of HIV. And we had HIV people in our church, and that was back when people still weren't sure if you touched someone with HIV, if you could get it. And we're like, no, you can't. And so we would bring people in, and I would literally kiss the ladies on the cheek because you had to. It was the Bronx, right? And to prove to them that I wouldn't get AIDS. That was a thing back then. When in saying yes to God, I had no idea that we would eventually live in Illinois and the city of Chicago, teaching students from around the globe, as well as ministering to the homeless who experienced displacement of no longer having a place to lay their heads. And saying yes to God, I had no idea that I'd eventually be living in Indiana, ministering to hardened and working class steel workers and their families. In saying yes to God, I had no idea I would get to move to and do ministry in the Bitterroot Valley. This is certainly the most beautiful place I've lived in. I've lived in some ugly places, let me tell you. If you had told me 11 years ago I would get to live in this, I would have said you're higher than a kite. This is not, how could this possibly be? I've done this before, but I'm just curious. Let me do this again. Quick survey on displacement here at Mosaic Church. How many of you were born, thank you, Higgs. Yeah, we're born and raised in the Bitterroot Valley. I'm just curious. Put your hands up. Oh, wow. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Wow, that's more than it used to be, actually. That's good. How many of you were born and raised in Montana? How many of you? Couple more. Okay. How many of you were born in California? Yeah, quite a few of you, yeah. Any of you born in another state? Oh, wow. Yeah. How many in another country? Oh, Lima. Beware of the foreign women. Too late. It's been 50-some years for these guys. It's just interesting, and that's one of the reasons why we call this Mosaic Church, because it is a collection, it is a mosaic, and that's what I just love that so much, right? Just in your own experience, by raising of your hands, you have experienced physical displacement, right? That doesn't even take into account the rest of everybody else's stories, which include voluntary and involuntary displacement. Right, you will have this feeling in various ways throughout your life. And this is really one of the reasons, I think, why it's easy to become bitter or resentful of life, especially during the holidays, resentful of others, and sometimes even resentful of the Lord himself. Lord, why are you doing this? I don't deserve this. Maybe he's got a bigger plan for you than maybe you thought, right? As we experience Christmas after Christmas in our lives, right? That's the simple reason why displaced people are not necessarily compassionate people. That's a choice in all of that, right? Kind of like the time, right? When a driver was stuck in gridlock traffic on a highway just outside Washington, D.C. Nothing was moving. I do not miss that, I assure you, right? When a strange man came up to him and tapped on his window, the driver rolled down his window. Well, that used to be a thing, right? Everybody under 40 is like, what are you doing? Anyway, I'm dating myself, right? And the guy said, what's up? And the man said to him, terrorists have kidnapped the entire U.S. Congress. They're demanding $500 million in a ransom. Otherwise, they said they were going to douse everyone in gasoline and set them on fire. So we're going from car to car to collect donations. And the driver asked, well, geez, how much is everyone giving on average? To which the man replied, roughly a gallon. Merry Christmas. All right. It's so inappropriate in church. Is it? Is it? And that's why Nouwen reminds, he warns us that the Christian community, churches, can never be understood as primarily something warm, soft, cozy, cuddly, comfortable, and protective. We like that. But that's not the reason why the Church of Jesus Christ exists. Those things are wonderful. They're good. We love them, especially during Advent season. But notice how somewhat self-centered that kind of thinking would be, right? Maybe an attempt to cure personal displacement, which I understand. Here's the irony. The church, the ecclesia, is a Christian community that of called out people who gather together. You don't have to come to church. You know this, right? There's no rules anymore. Well, I remember a day where, you know, well, you're supposed to go to church, and you went whether you wanted to or not. Young people don't even, that's not even cross their mind today. This is voluntary completely. There's no state church. If you want this church to keep going, well, you give, right? And you pray and that kind of thing. You know, in Europe, they still have state churches where people are taxed and they don't like it. I mean, they pay money not only to the government, to various churches. That doesn't happen in America. This is voluntary. In your displacement, we choose to come together as the people of Jesus Christ, and then we can welcome joy through that. In other words, you know, your own personal or family displacement, you can choose to gather together. Now, I know sometimes it's like, I just want to roll over and sleep a little longer, but isn't it, or you kind of have a bad attitude, you know, where I see young parents, you know, you better be good in church outside, and I'm just cracking up because they don't know I'm looking at them, right? And then they walk in smiling or whatever. But isn't it true you've come to church like, and you leave saying, I'm glad I did that, right? Yeah. Isn't that true? I can't do that because I'd be fired, but you can, right? Well, the church is calling us to be on a mission to the people and places that move and shift around from the ordinary, comfortable places of life. That's part of the idea, right? Think about the displacing things that Jesus said. He said, leave your father and mother. For some of you, that was good. But some of you actually miss your parents, right? Let the dead bury the dead. Keep your hand on the plow and don't look back. Sell what you own, give to the poor, and come follow me. This is stuff Jesus said, right? The voice of Jesus is the voice of our displaced Lord, right? Who invites us to move away from what's just simply comfortable or our personal preferences, you know, where we feel at home, right? You're not going to grow in life if you're just looking for comfort, right? We know this. This is the irony of it. And why is this important? When we allow involuntary displacements into our lives and accept them as voluntary, our attitudes change, right? We cast off the illusion. We don't do this around here like we have it all together. Remember back in the day where, oh, I can't go to church because I just have nothing to wear. Thankfully, that's over with. It's just like we say, you just don't come in your birthday suit. You know, wear something. Everybody's dressed. That's good. Thank you. Praise God. You know? So there are improvements, actually, through time, I think. You know, and how the attitudes we have, and is gratitude and thankfulness a regular part of your life? Oh, I hope so. That will make life so much better when you start really counting your blessings. Well, anyway, if I could give you some spiritual homework this week, let me encourage you to sit down, think about the displacements that you have experienced in your life or in your family life, right? That'd be a great thing to do with your spouse, maybe your children. How have you come through those difficult seasons and situations? Where do you need God's healing touch to, as they say in recovery, to accept the things that you cannot change, right? How can you grow in practical compassion for those around you who feel lost, lonely, displaced, offering them the precious gift of joy this Advent season? Kind of like, unlike the time, Billy. When a pastor said farewell to his congregation before moving to a new church immediately after the Christmas season, when an elderly lady paid him a compliment of suggesting that the next pastor would not be as good as he, and he was flattered, but he said, oh, that's nonsense. And she was like, she and the old lady insisted. She said, no, really, I've been here under the last six pastors, and each of them got progressively worse than the last. Merry Christmas. It happens. You know, one of the greatest things I love about our church and is that so many of you understand these things. It's become, in the last 8 years, really written into our church and spiritual DNA. That's why Mosaic Church will always be comprised of called out, displaced disciples of our displaced Lord on a mission of radical compassion to those who suffer from psychological, emotional, relational, physical, and spiritual displacement, because it's simply who we are, and it's what we do. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this this Sunday of joy. Thank you that we can be real with you and one another in your house, and that that your joy goes far deeper than our circumstances. And we hold on to that today. Some people are struggling. We lift them up to you today in their needs. And we thank you for this beautiful Advent season. And we pray it in the name of the one born in Bethlehem, Jesus Christ, saying, amen. Amen.